Please turn in the Word of God today to the Song of Solomon and the chapter 8. Now we will be turning to a number of portions of Scripture today as we preach the Word of God. So I would ask you please to turn up the place when we come to the different references. But please turn first of all to the Song of Solomon and the chapter 8. For a few moments today, I want to preach on the subject, fires which cannot be quenched, or unquenchable fires. But before we do so, let us bow in prayer with the Word of God open before us, and let us seek the Lord's face again for help as we come to consider God's truth. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your presence with us today already. And though God, we just pray now as we come to consider the Word of God that you would fill us with the Holy Ghost. We confess our need, therefore we cast ourselves upon thee. We do pray, Lord, that the message today will bless the people of God, encourage the saints of God, and challenge those in the meeting without Christ. We believe, Lord, that there's a message here for both saint and sinner alike. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that you would take your word and apply it to every heart in this church today. O God, we just commit our way to thee now. Bless us, we pray thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In California, in the United States of America, they have wild bushfires that burn out of control every year. For example, last year in 2013, they had a fire that burnt for over 2 months. It started on the 17th of August, 2013, and it was not put out until the 24th of October of that year. That particular fire destroyed over 257,000 acres of land, which covered over 402 square miles. It was the third largest wildfire in California's history, and it cost more than $127 million to put out. At the moment in California, there is a bushfire that has been burning for the last 2 weeks. The King Fire, as it has been named, has so far destroyed 150 square miles of land. At the moment, 8,000 firefighters are trying to get it under control, and up until now it has cost $50 million to fight. However, these bushfires in America are nothing compared to the bushfires in Australia. In 1851 in Australia, a devastating series of fires swept the state of Victoria. The Black Thursday bushfires, as they became known, are considered the largest Australian bushfires ever to take place, with approximately 5 million hectares, which is almost 12.5 million acres, which is over 19,000 square miles, or a quarter of the state of Victoria, being burnt. In other words, over twice the size of Northern Ireland was destroyed in these fires. 12 lives were lost, along with 1 million sheep, thousands of cattle, and many native animals. Now, these type of bushfires take place in America and Australia every year. And although they cause great damage and loss of life, eventually, these fires are brought under control and are put out. And although in some cases it takes months to bring them under control, eventually these fires are quenched. However, when you turn to the Word of God, the Bible speaks about fires which cannot be quenched. Fires which cannot be put out. No amount of water, no amount of organization, no amount of planning can stop these fires from burning. And for a few moments at the end of our service today, that's what I want to preach about. I want to preach about fires which cannot be quenched. unquenchable fires. And I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. I believe there's a message here for both saint and sinner alike. And I do pray that the message today will encourage the saint of God. But I also pray that the message today will challenge those in our service who are not saved. My friend, if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, if you're not saved by the grace of God, then I want you to listen very carefully, because there is a definite message here for your heart and for your soul. Fires which cannot be quenched. First of all, I want to draw your attention to the fire of God's love, which cannot be quenched. Look what it says in the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and the verse 7. Underline these words. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. God's love is a fire that cannot be quenched. I wonder, child of God, did you ever think about that before? The love of God for his people is everlasting. Now, of course, when I speak about God's people, I'm speaking about those who are saved by the grace of God, who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Redeemer. God's love cannot be quenched because it is eternal love. We sing that lovely hymn, "Love with everlasting love, led by grace his love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine." And how often the boys and girls sing that little chorus. God's love is like a circle binged round. And when you see a circle, no ending can be found. That's like the love of Jesus goes on eternally, forever and forever. I know that God loves me. Isn't that something to rejoice about today, dear child of God? That we are loved with everlasting love. That we are saved eternally. That the love that God has demonstrated towards us cannot end and cannot be quenched. Oh, I pray today as we leave God's house that this wonderful truth will grip our souls afresh. God's love reaches into the past. Ephesians 1 verse 4, you should underline it in your Bible. This is what it says. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." The Bible says that God hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In other words, God set his love upon us even before this world was created. Now, it's difficult for our human minds to comprehend that. We can't comprehend it, but God doesn't ask us to comprehend it. He just asks us to believe it. And that's what the Word of God clearly teaches us. Not only does God's love reach into the past, but of course God's love extends into the future. Jeremiah 31 verse 33. We read these tremendous words. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." So not only does God's love reach into the past and extend, it also extends into the future. There'll never be a time, therefore, when God will stop loving his people. And oh, dear child of God, you and I ought to cherish that wonderful truth that we learn from the precious, precious Word of God. There are times when our love for him will grow cold. There are times when our love for him will grow dim. But praise God, his love for his redeemed people is unending. You see, God's love can never be destroyed for his people. God's love can never be quenched. Turn over this time to Romans chapter 8. I know it's a familiar passage, but maybe it's not familiar to all. And look what it says here about the love of Christ and the love of God towards his redeemed children. Romans 8 verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us?" Here's Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's writing to the people of God. Now I must keep on emphasizing that. That's very important. God here is speaking to his redeemed children. And this is what he says to those who are trusting him as their own and personal redeemer. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." God, his love burns forever. Nothing can quench it. And of course, God manifested his everlasting love toward us by sending his only begotten Son to die for our sins upon the cross. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." In other words, Calvary is the wonderful demonstration of God's eternal love for his people. Christ coming into the world and dying upon the cross to provide salvation for sinners demonstrates God's unceasing and unending love towards all those who trust in him. God's love for his people cannot be quenched because of Calvary. Never forget that. Christ's substitutionary death upon the cross has sealed God's love to his people forever. God cannot deny his love towards us because of the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ has shed to purchase our eternal redemption. Oh, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. Yes, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me that brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. I wonder today, as we're gathered here in God's house, has the fires of God's love reached into your heart yet? Do you know anything of this unending, unceasing love? My friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, you can be saved, and you can enter into God's love, and you can be redeemed for time and for eternity. This love that I'm talking about, which cannot be quenched, can be your possession. You can know the eternal love of God today. You say, "Preacher, how?" Well, simply by confessing your sin to God and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior and trusting in him alone. And praise God, if you do, then you can be saved for all eternity. And you can enter in and know a love that cannot be quenched. The fire of God's love for his people, for his redeemed children, cannot be quenched. And that's what the Bible teaches. Very simply and very clearly. Now, I want you to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 20 for a moment. And also Jeremiah chapter 23, because we see here another fire that cannot be quenched. The fire of God's word cannot be quenched. Look what it says in Jeremiah 20 verse 9. It says, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." There the word of God is described as a fire, a burning fire. Look at Jeremiah 23 and underline verse 29. It says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord." God's truth or God's word is a fire. A fire that cannot be quenched. God's word may at times in this world grow dim, but it will never be put out. Even after this world has passed away, the truth of God shall endure forever and forever and forever. Now, I'm going to read you out a collection of verses. I don't expect you to turn to them, but if you have a pen and you want to jot them down, then do so. But listen to these tremendous texts of Scripture that describe God's word as an everlasting word. Psalm 119, verse 160. Listen to it. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 and 24. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. It's a fire that cannot be quenched. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Back to the Psalms again, Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 117, verse 2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord, speaking about the word of God, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Verse 6. Which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Underline the words. Which keepeth truth forever. Men and women, God's word is a fire that endures forever. It is a fire that cannot be quenched. Oh, child of God, with this great truth in our hearts today, let us go forward preaching God's word, knowing that we have the fire of God in our hands, which no man can put out. The word of God is a living word. It's a living book. In the period known as the Dark Ages, in the history of our land, the Church of Rome not only forbid the people to read the Bible, but they commanded that Bibles were to be burnt. In the church council in 1234 AD, the Roman Catholic Church issued a statement which declared, and I quote, "No one may possess the books of the Old and New Testament, and if anyone possesses them, he must turn them over to the local bishops within 8 days, so that they may be burnt." Underline it. So that they may be burnt. Indeed, on many occasions during the Dark Ages, the Church of Rome burnt Bibles along with their owners. The Bible is still a book that Roman Catholics are discouraged from reading. However, although the Church of Rome did her best to destroy the Word of God, still the Bible, listen to it, is the most published book in the world today. Why? Because the Bible is a fire that cannot be quenched. And the sad reality today that in the majority of Protestant homes, the Bible is a closed book as well. Sad to say. And even among many so-called Christians, the Bible is a book that is neglected. Oh, child of God, is it neglected in your home? Is it neglected in your daily living? Men and women, let me exhort you today, love your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible, cherish your Bible, spread the message of your Bible, and always defend and believe what is written in your Bible. I have a precious book. It's the Word of God. It's the only book that God has given. When I read, God speaks to me. I see Christ on Calvary, the eternal Word of God. Forever it will stand as the ages roll. It's the living and eternal word. It's my guiding light each day, and forever it will stay, the eternal word of God. So Lord, may I each day read thy precious word. May I love it and obey it too. May I grow to be like thee. May my friends see Christ in me, the eternal word of God. Child of God, isn't it encouraging today to know this great truth, that down through the history of this world, God has preserved his word right until this very day. And although men reject it, and although nations turn away from it, and although there have been those who have tried to destroy it, we still have the word of God. Why? Because it is a fire that cannot be quenched. The Bible says that God's word is forever settled in heaven. Someday this world will be destroyed. Someday this world will be no more. But God's word will remain forever. I pray for those in the meeting today who are not saved. Perhaps you have no time for the Bible. You've never lifted the Bible to read it. I would encourage you, read the word of God. Those who are not saved, read the scriptures of truth, because within them you will learn your need of salvation. And within them you will learn how you can escape the judgment which is to come. You see, that's the third thing I want you to notice. Turn over to Mark chapter 9. The fire of God's love cannot be quenched. The fire of God's word cannot be quenched. The fire of God's wrath cannot be quenched. Look what it says in Mark 9 verse 44 and 45. It says this: where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Underline it. The fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never can be quenched. The Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker on this occasion. And the Savior here is drawing our attention to the subject of hell. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this scene of time, he spoke on this subject on many occasions. And it is an interesting study, and you should take the time to study it in the Bible. It's an interesting study to consider every time the Lord Jesus spoke about hell and about the judgment that is to come. What does Christ teach us about hell? Well, first of all, he teaches us that hell is a real place. Now, many people today do not believe that hell is a real place. Of course, they don't believe that heaven is a real place either. But when we turn to the Word of God, and when we consider especially the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior teaches dogmatically that there is such a place. Hell is for all those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So if you're not saved today, if you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Redeemer, then if you were to die right now, the Bible teaches that you would go to a lost eternity. You would go to hell. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "But the fearful and unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." But you'll notice when you study the Bible on this subject, and study the words of Christ particularly, that the Lord Jesus taught that hell is a place of fire. That hell is a place where the fires of hell will never be quenched. Is not what we learn there in that text in Mark 9. Twice over we read the words, "the fire that never shall be quenched." And friend, it's important that you see that. That's a solemn truth. But that is a truth that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this earth, he taught. He taught. Indeed, the interesting fact is this, that the Lord Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven. And as he preached in his public ministry, he warned men to flee from the wrath which was coming. This truth that the fires of hell will never be quenched is clearly taught both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let me just read you some verses very quickly. Nahum 1 verse 6. We read these words, "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger?" Speaking about the judgment of God. "His fury is poured out like fire." Jeremiah 4 verse 4. Listen to these words. "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it." I underline those words. There in Jeremiah, the prophet is speaking about the fires of God's wrath. And they cannot be quenched. Matthew 3 verse 12, it says he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20 for a moment. And take a look there at verse 10, right at the end of the Bible. And it says this in verse 10 of Revelation chapter 20. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." So that's where Satan is heading. "Where the beast and the false prophet are. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And death and hell," look at verse 14, "were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death, verse 15. "And whosoever was not written. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The fires of hell cannot be quenched. My friend, the Bible speaks of one of two places that men and women go to when they die, heaven or hell. It doesn't speak about purgatory. Now, if you can find purgatory in the Bible, please show it to me. It's not there. And when you and I come to die, when we come to face the last enemy, when we close our eyes in death, we will open our eyes either in God's heaven or God's hell. God's heaven is an eternal place, an everlasting place, but so too is God's hell. The fires of God's wrath upon the sinner, upon the Christ rejecter, cannot be quenched. And I pray today that if you're found in this meeting and you're not saved, that you will listen to that truth. And more than just listen to it, that you would believe that truth. Because that is the truth of God's holy word. And that's why it is so important. Indeed, that's why it is imperative, my friend, that you come today and make your peace with God and find salvation through the blood of the Lamb. That's why you need to be saved. That's why you need to be converted. That's why you need to turn from your sin. The problem today in Ulster and across our land is that there is no fear of God before the people. No fear of God. Years ago, even unsaved people had a fear of God. Had a respect for the things of God. But in this 21st century, no one has a respect for the things of God anymore, and certainly they have no fear of God. They have no thought of God. They're only thinking about living and pleasure and sin. Oh, my friend, remember this. The pleasures of sin only last for a season. They only last for a short time. And even if it was possible for you to live all your life in the pleasures of sin, what would it be worth then to die and go out in to the fires of God's judgment that will burn forever? Oh, I exhort you today to come and flee from the wrath which is to come. And you can be saved You can be born again of the Spirit of God. There's a tremendous text of Scripture, and I want everyone to turn to it in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. And even if you're not saved in the meeting, I want you to look at this text of Scripture, because in this text of Scripture, we see how you and I can be saved from the judgment to come. Look what it says. Paul writing again to the saints at Rome, and this is what he says in verse 8 of Romans 5. But God, look at it, but God commendeth his love towards us. That love that cannot be quenched. He has commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the seal of God's eternal love. Much more then, look at verse 9, being now justified by his blood. That's how we're saved. When we trust Christ as our Savior, when we depend upon him alone for salvation, we're justified by his blood. You know what the word justified means? It means just as if I have never sinned. It means pardon. It means forgiveness. How do you get pardon for your sins? Through the blood. Through his blood that he shed upon the cross. Listen, water will not make you right for heaven. Water will not forgive you for your sins. People say to me, I've been baptized. Well, friend, no mention of water here. It's blood that's mentioned here. And the blood that's mentioned here is the blood of Christ. You're depending upon your baptism to save you. You're going to hell. If you're depending upon your good works to get into heaven, you'll never get there. My friend, I want you to see what the Bible is saying. I want you to see what God's truth is saying. Being now justified. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Isn't that the text that Martin Luther saw and read? All his life he had been running after Rome. All his life he had been beating himself up. All his life he had been doing penance. And yet he had no peace with God and no joy in his heart. And then he read that verse, the just shall live by faith. And he was gloriously saved. And the peace of God filled his heart and filled his soul. And look what it says. Being now justified by his blood. Listen to it. We shall be saved. We shall be delivered. That's what the word saved there means. Delivered. Delivered from what? Delivered from wrath. Delivered from the fires which cannot be quenched. How? Through him. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. That's how you're delivered from the wrath and the judgment of God. Through Christ. Through what Christ has done upon the cross of Calvary. Listen to me. God's eternal word teaches us that God's eternal love will save us from God's eternal wrath when we trust God's eternal Son as our eternal Savior. Have you done that? Have you trusted God's eternal Son as your eternal Savior? Oh, my friend, if you have, then you'll never know what it is to burn in the fires of hell. But if you haven't, you will. And I say that lovingly to you today, you will. Because sin and your sin will be punished. It will be punished. God punishes sin. My sin. My sin was punished upon Christ upon the cross. I believe that. I trust in Jesus today to save me. I trust in him to redeem me. My sins were laid upon him. But my friend, if you die in your sin will have to be punished somewhere else. And where it will be punished will be in the flames of a lost eternity. Fires which cannot be quenched. The fire of God's love for his people cannot be quenched. We're eternally saved. I'm going to heaven. No one can stop me from going there because of God's eternal love for me in Christ. The fires of God's word cannot be quenched. Believe the word of God. Don't disregard it. Someday it'll be your judge. It'll be the evidence that God will set before you to condemn you.
because it cannot be quenched. And the fires of God's wrath cannot be quenched. That's why you need to come to Christ and trust Him. Let us all pray.